To those outside horse racing, Costa Hironas is best known as the CEO, CFO, and president of Hironas Inc., a family-run fruit farm in California's San Joaquin Valley. But around the racetrack, Costa is known as one of two brothers behind one of the most successful racing stables in the nation, Hironas Racing. In business only since 2010, Hironas Racing's accomplishments are many and they are noteworthy. Costa and Pete Hironas are in the midst of another stellar year with a barn led by Stellar Wynn. Costa Hironas is the guest on this week's Thoroughbred Daily News podcast, brought to you by TaylorMade.
Why do TaylorMade horses sell for nearly double the market average? A history of success, honesty, and hard work. For over 40 years, buyers and sellers alike have trusted TaylorMade as the industry's top source for high-quality thoroughbreds and friendly service. While sellers get top dollar for their horses, buyers are rewarded for top results on the track. From sale toppers to Grade 1 winners to Breeders' Cup champions, think TaylorMade, the worldwide leader in thoroughbred sales and marketing.
This is Bill Finley, and welcome to this week's TDN podcast. You probably know all about Stellar Wynn, the 2015 three-year-old filly champion who was riding a three-race winning streak, but you probably don't know that much about her co-owner, Costa Hironas, a fruit farmer who has risen rapidly among the ownership ranks to create one of the sport's top stables. Welcome, Costa, and let's start with the beginnings of the story. And I've read that you and your brother became, quote-unquote, racetrack lifers way back at the ripe old age of 5 years old. So that's awful young. Tell us the rest of the story.
Yeah, that's correct, Bill. Our grandmother, our mom grew up in Pasadena, so grandma and grandpa lived in Pasadena, and so maybe about 5 miles from the track. So when we went down and visited the grandparents, our family outing always included Santa Anita Racetrack. And yeah, brother and I, at a very, very young age, kind of fell in love with the sport.
And what was it about horse racing, especially that young? You know, most kids are watching cartoons or playing with G.I. Joes or whatever at age five. What was it about the sport you liked so much?
Yeah, we grew up on a family farm. There wasn't a lot of cartoons involved. We worked on Saturdays, so
okay.
I guess this was our way of entertainment. But yeah, it just, we really fell in love with it. I remember as a youngster doing homework, and after I got all done, they'd let me have the sports page, the LA Times, and I could see tomorrow's races and see the results from the day before. And that's kind of where I learned to start handicapping. I was probably 8 or 9 years old, and I was already looking at the races and circling names, and there wasn't a lot of information, no internet or anything. So I was mainly going just by a name or a jockey or, so that's how we kind of learned to start handicapping. And then as we got older, probably our mid-20s, we actually got a box at Santa Anita, and we'd go down on Saturday and Sunday and would just go to the races and enjoy the day and handicap. And we thought we knew what we were doing. I turned to him in 2010 in February, and I said, I think we're going to join this business. I think we're going to buy a horse. And he said, you know, we don't know anything about this. I said, well, I think we can do it. And that's where it all began.
Now, I understand, and it's been written and said a lot of times, that one of the unique parts of the story was that an usher overheard you and Pete talking and said, wait a minute, I got just the guy for you, John Sadler. Tell us the rest of that story, how that all evolved.
Actually, yeah, Tony was our usher, and he knew us really well because we had come on weekends for probably 10, 12 years, so he got to know us really well. And when I first told him, he said, don't do anything. Don't do it. Don't talk to anybody. Don't do anything. When you come back next weekend, I'll have an appointment for you. I know who you need to talk to. So, okay, great. So we came back the next weekend, and Tony said, well, between the fourth and seventh race, I'm going to introduce you to John Sadler. Well, John Sadler to us was, you know, way up there in the hemisphere of trainers. And we thought, you know, there's no way this guy's going to mess with a couple little farmers from Delano, California that want to claim a horse. But, you know, he's training for Jenny Craig, and he's big time. He's got Twirling Candy, Sydney Candy. He's got all these fancy horses, and we thought, there's just no way. But we went down, talked to him, and I think I followed up with lunch on that Tuesday after, and I guess John felt comfortable enough that we'd start doing business with each other, and he claimed our first horse in, I think it was February 17th of 2010, sleep tight, and that was our very first horse, and that's kind of where it all began.
And every time you guys win a big race or something's written up about you, you and Pete are so quick to point out that John Sadler has been such a big part of your success, and literally that you wouldn't be where you are today without him. And, you know, what is it about him that makes him such a good trainer and you believe has been such an influential part of your team?
Yeah, I think John, I think he actually went outside the trainer circle and actually trained Pete and I to be good owners, because we really didn't have any idea what we were doing. So we run a big operation in the valley, you know, of agriculture company, and we let our managers manage. And so we had that same technique with John. He was the professional. We'd support him in all ways we could, but we weren't going to micromanage him or try to tell him how to do his job. So what was kind of nice about the whole thing is while John's claiming horses and training them, he's also training me and Brother Pete how to be an owner. So I think that went hand in hand. We really respected John and his philosophies. The horse comes first. I remember looking at condition books and trying to outguess when we might be signing up and stuff. And John would say, you know what? The horse is going to tell us. Those workouts that we do, they're the ones that dictate to us when a horse is ready or not ready. And the horse will tell us what we're going to do. And that was the philosophy. We weren't allowed to make plans. The horse was going to make all the plans for us.
Now, how hands-off are you? Will you sit down with him with a stellar wind and ever say, I'd like to go in race A, not race B, and John may disagree with you? Or is it strictly that you just say, John, you're the boss, you tell us what to do?
From 2010 to now, I mean, obviously our relationship has grown and gotten stronger. We've gotten more knowledgeable ourselves. But John's very open-minded. We'll sit, we'll talk, we'll decide what's best for the horse. No, I've never dictated to him what horse or what race we prefer or what jockey we prefer. We just don't really, we'll talk about things, but we really let John, he's the professional. He knows what, besides being our trainer, he's kind of the stable manager also. He knows what's best for us, and we really trust in John and that relationship. And as you can see, it's been successful. So again, the trust has kind of gotten bigger and bigger as things have gotten bigger and better.
We'll talk with Costa Hironas about his successes on the racetrack, of which there have been many. But first, this message from our friends at TaylorMade.
TaylorMade, the worldwide leader in thoroughbred sales and marketing, is your number one source offering the full spectrum of bloodstock services. With over four decades of experience and the industry's top resources, TaylorMade has the power to help you achieve your loftiest goals. Last year, horses consigned by TaylorMade sold for nearly double the general market average. So if you're looking to get the most for your yearlings, make 2017 the year you give TaylorMade a try. Visit TaylorMadeFarm.com and discover what we can do for you.
Lady of Shamrock starting to wind up. Lady of Shamrock now only four lengths off the leaders. They take close order at the top of the lane now in the Oaks on the inside. Best Present Ever comes back. Eden's Moon between them. Open water on the outside. Lady of Shamrock's forced to go eight wide. But Lady of Shamrock moving into contention. Grandstand side. Homeward Bound. Open water. Lady of Shamrock on the outside running a big one. Between them, Stormy Lucy. But Lady of Shamrock goes on by. Stormy Lucy tries to go with her on the inside. Lady of Shamrock and Mike Smith have won the Del Mar Oaks.
You just heard Lady Shamrock winning the 2012 Del Mar Oaks, the first major win for Hironas Racing. Costa, you bought her privately. When did that happen, and with whose help? And can you give us an idea, first of all, of how much you paid for her?
It was a private purchase. I'd rather not say because of the sellers involved. Mm-hmm. That was kind of a confidentiality. She was not very expensive. I guess she had become somewhat extra in someone's barn. So David and Gordo looked at her, and John's stamp of approval after we watched the videos of her races, and we decided to bring her to California. And yeah, Lady of Shamrock, basically her 3-year-old career, that race still gives me chills that Del Mar Oaks. I'm just listening to it. I still get excited. But yeah, she basically helped start and build the barn for us. Everything she did went right back into it. We owe a lot to Lady Shamrock for getting this whole thing going.
Well, let's look at some of those numbers. She earned $938,400 on the racetrack, most of which was for you guys. And then you turn around and sold her at the Keeneland November breeding stock sale in 2013 for $2 million. So, and you said you put all that money back into the business. If you had never acquired that horse, could Hieronymus Racing be as big today as it is? How much did she play from a financial standpoint to get you from point A to point B being where you are today?
I mean, it definitely helped. I think it even helped more because I think at that point we started getting really confident that in John's ability as a owner, as a trainer, and David and Gordo to go find horses, and for us to be support their professional way of going about their business. So I think it was twofold. I think it did help financially, but I also think it gave us the confidence to go ahead and start building the barn and getting it, you know, to a size where we would be comfortable like we are today.
Now, with Lady of Shamrock, that's a perfect example where as much of your success has come with horses you've purchased privately or perhaps bought at sales where there are not yearlings or something along that line, but proven race horses. So what do you and your brother and your advisors look for when seeking out racing prospects? Can you share some of your secrets of success?
I guess we look at it kind of like stocks, where you want to have a very diversified portfolio. So I remember the first time in 2010 when John was going to the 2-year-old sale in Ocala, we thought, oh, hey, exciting. So how does we get involved in that? And he said, you're not involved in it. You've just claimed your first horse. We're going to walk before we run. So we got left out of the 2-year-old sale. And it wasn't until a year later we got to go to our first 2-year-old sale. And we did that for a few years. And then finally we expanded to the yearlings. And we've done a couple of Euro private purchases. We've been to the ARC sale in Europe. We've done same thing here, the yearlings, the 2-year-olds, the private. We claim horses all the time. We're always looking for the next Iotapa. Mm-hmm. Iotapa we claimed for 50, and she ended up running third in the Breeders' Cup. Another real successful story that helped. She was the next one that helped build the barn. Lady of Shamrock to Iotapa to now Stellar Wind and Hard Aces also. Just those are the kind of horses that have kind of got us to where we are. But we've tried to stay very diversified, not focus in one area. We don't really look for dirt or turf or long or short. We're just looking for good horses that fit maybe what we have going on here on the West Coast.
Now, of all the success stories, the biggest obviously is Stellar Wind. And you guys bought her after a 1-mile maiden race where she won at Laurel in 2014. So that's not exactly a race that would be on a lot of people's radar screens. Take us through that story. Who discovered her and how did it go from the horse training in Maryland for other connections to joining your barn?
Yeah, we're all watching a lot of races, I think, at night in our extra time. So, but I think because she's curling, David and Gordo had his eye on her, and he's the one that found out she was available. And actually, when he went and looked at her, I think it was like 3 degrees that day. So it wasn't a great day to go out horse hunting. But David did go in, looked at her. He liked what he saw. And we immediately made a deal with the people because he was very impressed, and we got her on a plane and got her out to the West Coast. And I got to say, from the first time she came here on the West Coast and John saw her run around the track, he knew right away. He said, we definitely have a very special filly on our hand. She was a little light, you know, in what, but John knew he was going to have to manage her properly and keep things spaced out. Put her in a stake race right away after her win, and she ran as well as we thought she would run.
Stella Wynn starting a run now. Stella Wynn, Green Cap on the far side, going all the way up to second, then back to Singing Kitty. They come to the quarter pole and Luminance is the leader, but Stella Wynn has made this big run to take a run now behind that Wild at Heart. They're at the top of the lane in the Santa Anita Oaks now, and Stella Wynn, she's made this big looping run and strikes the front. Luminance is in second. Past the eighth pole they come now, and it's Stella Wynn going grittily for the wire here, and it's Stella Wynn, an absolutely scintillating performance today. Stella Wynn and Victor Espinosa could not have been more impressive in the Santa Anita Oaks.
That was the 2015 Santa Anita Oaks, which you just heard, and that was one of the biggest reasons that Stella Wynn won an Eclipse Award in 2015. What did it mean to you guys to have campaigned a champion just 5 years into the business?
Yeah, that was to be involved, to be invited in the Eclipse, to just get invited there and know you're in the top three. That was even a huge honor. To sit at that table and wait for him to announce, that was a very exciting time. But we were so proud of Stella Wynn, and actually more for her and the barn and the guys working there and John Sadler that do all this hard work every day, more than us as the family. You know, we've got the easy job here, but just for her to get that kind of recognition as the Eclipse winner and to have that on her resume, we were so proud of her. That was a thrilling moment for the family. That was really the pinnacle at that point for us, for her to win that Eclipse Award.
And Costa, as good as she is and as good as she has been for all these years, and even though she did win a championship, you've always sort of been overshadowed by both Beholder and Songbird. Does that rub you the wrong way in any ways? Would you have liked her to get, you know, more recognition as one of the great fillies of her era, which has been a little bit hard to do because of the aforementioned fillies that I just mentioned?
Yeah, I think it's taken a while for her to get the recognition. I think last year her back-to-back wins against Beholder opened up a lot of eyes, and I think she started to... I mean, she was in the conversation. She just wasn't first or second all the time. I think this year with her three G1 wins, she's definitely at the top of her game, and I think people have to include her in the conversation. If they want to include Songbird first, so be it. I guess we'll just have to hope that we can settle that score on the racetrack in some way.
Well, presumably that will happen in this year's Breeders' Cup Distaff. Now, your filly is 0-2 in that race, but she loves Del Mar. I believe she's undefeated there. She's in great form right now. So looking forward to this year's Breeders' Cup Distaff and perhaps a showdown again with Songbird, how confident are you? How much are you looking forward to that?
We're really looking forward to it. I mean, she's the two bad races she had in the Kentucky Oaks and then last year's Breeders, she just didn't get out of the gate. She just, for whatever reason, and those are races that you really can't afford a misstep. I mean, you're with the best of the best, and every step counts. So that was unfortunate for her, but this year we've done a lot of gate work with her. She's doing much better getting out. Her whole style has changed. She used to be a horse that kind of ran from mid-pack or three-quarters back and then would make one run, where now she's more engaged in the race right off the bat. She seems to be a little happier doing that. And she actually relaxes a little more, I think, being on the hip of the leader. And I describe it as she kind of taps you on the shoulder all the way around and reminds you that she's there. So I think with her style now and her age, I'm glad she got to stay an extra year, and this be a good year for her to prove her case against the other fillies and mares.
There's much more to come with Costa Hironas, but first this message from our sponsor, our friends at TaylorMade.
Attention sellers, now's the time to start preparing for the upcoming yearling sales, and putting your yearlings on the path to success begins right now. As the worldwide leader in thoroughbred sales and marketing, the expert team at TaylorMade knows what it takes to succeed at public auction. So if you're ready to get top dollar for your yearlings in 2017, visit TaylorMadeFarm.com and discover what we can do for you.
Welcome back, Costa. And First of all, how big is the stable now? Give us the numbers that you have, and you know, how many are stakes horses, how many are claimers, etc.
Yeah, there's always around 40 in training, and then we have some two-year-olds and some yearlings that haven't made it to the track yet. And we've got a mix. It's probably about 20% of each. We've got some claimers. We've got regular horses, you know, still in the maiden ranks, and then I'd say the rest are middle to upper allowance, and then the top ones are running stake races.
And now, having graded stakes horses in the barn and having had so much success with them, someone might ask, why do you still fool around with claimers? Is it the hope that you can turn a $50,000 horse into a graded stakes horse, or is it just something that you and your brother and John enjoy?
I guess we enjoy it. I guess we like the action. I guess there's something to maybe finding that needle in the haystack that somebody else doesn't like. Bitska. Last year we claimed Bitska at Del Mar for 50, and she ended up winning the Barrett's stake at Los Al, and she's turned out to be a really, really nice horse. So that's kind of fun. Like I said, Iotapa, when we claimed her, we did really well with. Edwards Going Left is our newest one, and he just won that highest level of allowance and is now going to run the Calbred Stakes. So we've dabbled with it. We've had some that haven't turned out, but we've had some pretty good results with it. So just, I guess it's the challenge and just having the action and being in some regular races is a lot of fun also. There's really no difference. The thrill, as hard as it is, as crazy as it sounds, but if you win a maiden 20 and you win a second level allowance, I mean, the win is the win. And you really, I think, the same excitement and the same nerves as you're going around the track. It's
sure.
A lot of fun for us.
Sure. Okay. Now, Stellar Wind is the star of the barn. We all know that. But let's give a tip of the hat to Accelerate. You accomplished something at the time that virtually seemed impossible when you beat Arrowgate in the San Diego Handicap. And honestly, did you really give your horse any chance that day?
We really did. He really likes Del Mar. He was working out really well. The race before in the Precisionist, he had gotten third. Again, he didn't break out of the gate. We added blinkers on him, which seemed to make a big difference, really helped him a lot. If there was a day you're going to beat the best horse in the world, it's probably going to be after he's on a break, after he leaves Dubai, going a mile and a 16th on a track that he really doesn't care for. So all those things kind of lined up nicely for us, and Accelerate probably ran the race of his life. I really personally don't think Arrogate can beat him that day. Even if he was ready to roll, mm-hmm. It didn't lay an egg as it was said. But he ran the race of his life. It was flawless. It was a perfect race for him. And I'm just not sure anybody can beat him that day.
Sure. And Costa, what you guys have accomplished is normally something that happens over the course of 25, 30 years. People who have been in the game that long, spent a lot of money, haven't done half of what you and your brother have done. So sort of a two-part question here. Are you shocked that you've come this far, this fast? And was this sort of the plan to, you know, really reach these kind of levels, or did it just sort of happen? Is it just sort of an organic thing?
It really is. It really just kind of happened. I remember when we got our third horse, it was like, wow, we've got this huge stable now. Now we're up to three, and we just were really surprised that we had gotten to that point at the end of 2010. But yeah, we're very blessed, very fortunate. I guess we've had a very good streak of good luck with horses. And again, David and Gordo, John Sadler's team at the barn, all those people that do the work every day. I got to give credit to me and Brother Pete, because I think we've been good owners. I think we've been very supportive, and I think we all worked well as a team. And the family, who's understood and supported, you know, Pete and I, my wife and my kids have been very supportive to allow us to do this and spend the time doing this. And yeah, we feel really, really blessed and really lucky that unfortunate, but it did happen organically. It just kind of one after another. We really didn't plan for it to get to where it is, but it's gone from a dream to a hobby to a full-fledged business now.
Okay. And you talked about how you guys are now trying to find horses in all various ways, sales, overseas, et cetera. But the way you guys have hit the bullseye so many times is going back to the story of Stellar Wind, somebody saying, wow, this horse looked great winning a maiden race at Laurel. Let's step in there and buy it. Would you say that's still the primary MO of Horonis Racing to pick out these kind of horses that have won races elsewhere, or could you just as easily find your next star at a 2-year-old in training sale, something like that?
Yeah, I mean, we got Accelerate as a yearling, so he's probably our star as far as the yearlings have come along. We bought Hard Aces after, you know, he was already 5 years old and he'd already won a stake race, but I think we were very patient because we had looked for a dirt handicap horse probably for a year before Hard Aces became available. So we weren't quick to jump. We kept looking and looking, and we were very patient. I guess if the right thing comes along and everybody's on the same page and agrees, that's when we're able to react. And we try to react pretty swiftly and not, you know, drag our feet about it.
Okay. So about the only thing you guys have not done so far is have a major 3-year-old colt. You haven't really been involved in the Triple Crown races. And part of that, we already understand why, because only recently have you gotten involved in buying yearlings and 2-year-olds at the sales. But is that the next goal? Is that the next big accomplishment that you and your brother Pete want to do to, you know, perhaps not just win the Kentucky Derby, but at least, you know, have your toe in the door to have a horse that is involved on the road to the Triple Crown?
Yeah, I actually, Bill, we kind of think it's impossible to point to running that Triple Crown series because it's just so difficult to find a horse that on the first weekend of May is going to run 2 turns on the dirt. It's like a needle, you know, threading a needle, you know, with a piece of thread. It's really tough because a lot of these, well, look at Arrogate. He's the best horse in the world. He didn't run any of those races. He just got mature and better later and maybe can last longer also. Same with Accelerate. He just wasn't ready at that point. And so to actually try to do that, I think we'd end up spending a lot of money and a lot of time and a lot of effort on something we can't control. We got to let the horses make that decision. We've probably got 4 or 5 3-year-olds right now, colts, that haven't got on the track yet that we're looking forward to here in the fall, but we're hoping they're going to be good handicap and stake horses, you know, next year and the following.
So now back to Stellar Wind. Has it been decided yet? Will this be our last year of racing?
Just like last year, we had signed her up, and we let Stellar Wind make that decision, so... She's right now, she's top form, running great. If we decide after her next 2 races that she needs to go on to her next career, that's what we're prepared to do. We're going to do what's best by her. So as much as we'd love to keep her on the track another year, she's actually going to have to, as crazy as it sounds, I know horses don't talk and they can't write us a letter and tell us, but there are ways in this industry, and you know, you're a professional, you know these things. Mm-hmm. Horses do tell you, and especially the mares, they'll start showing signs. And when those things start turning up, it's our responsibility to let her move on to the next point of her career.
Okay. Now, best of my knowledge, Horonis Racing has really never been involved as breeders. We talked about Lady Shamrock and the nice windfall profit you made selling her as a broodmare prospect. Do you breed Stellar Wind, or does she wind up in one of those fall sales? And if so, where she's obviously going to sell for an awful lot of money. Have you thought that far ahead yet?
Yeah, she's signed up for the Keeneland sales. Actually, in all respect to her, she really belongs at a professional play. I mean, we have one mare. It's our first horse that got us in the winner's circle, Katie Secret. Mm-hmm. We kept her because I couldn't not keep her because she was our first. And we've had a few cowbreds by her. We're in the racing side of it. We're really not in the breeding side. And especially with someone like Stellar, who deserves to be with the best people in the world that know how to do this and can make her next career even as successful as her racing career.
Okay. So obviously, if she comes out of the Breeders' Cup distaff and you guys see that, you know, she looks like she's doing well and a decision comes down to race her next year, then she will race next year. She would be withdrawn from the sale?
That's a possibility. That's always going to be a possibility, just like it was last year. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Now, Cus, let's talk about, again, going back to this is 7 years, which is such a short period of time. You've won owner titles at Santa Anita. You've raced an Eclipse Award winner. Currently, you guys are ninth in the country in earnings. Can you grow? Can you get bigger? And do you want to grow and get bigger? Or is this really the size and scope of what you want the operation to be?
I think our size right now is almost perfect. I don't think we need to get any bigger. I think I just want to keep the details as sharp as we are now. Me and Brother Peter are still working full time on the ranch. Maybe after, if I retire from the ranch at some point and I'm with the horses full time, is that a possibility? Yes. But right now, today, for the next 10 years, I think with our presence being so important back at the ranch, I think the size we have is about right to where we're comfortable to be able to still do both and do it both well.
Now, speaking of the ranch, you guys grow oranges, you grow table grapes. You're not in the wine business, so far as I understand. And obviously, you must have done quite well financially in that, or otherwise you would not be able to spend the money that you have had in the horse racing business. And one thing that you said earlier that caught my attention is how this grew, and you now see this as a business. A lot of people see it as a hobby, that we love the action, we love the enjoyment, we love the thrills, but at the end of the day, we really don't expect to make money. A matter of fact, as we all know, most owners do lose money. Are you proving otherwise? Is this now something that you look at as more than a hobby, but something that can put extra dollars into Pete and Costa Hironas' pocket, and it can be a successful business now and going forward?
Yeah, that's absolutely. I mean, we've got too much invested to not look at it that way and have it take care of itself and hope that there's extra, you know, when you sell a horse at a sale and so forth, that there might be something that you can roll into the next crop. So, yeah, we do look, as large as it's gotten and as much money as it takes to do this, we have to look at it as a business, and we have to make decisions based on that fact, because otherwise, we don't have any oil fields or anything where we could do that. We work really hard for what we do, and we're probably where we are because we do watch everything pretty closely. So, yeah, we'll continue to watch the stable closely also and keep things tight there also. But, yeah, it's so far so good. I must say we've been very successful to date.
Well, so far, so good is an understatement. What you guys have done is actually quite remarkable. Costa, thank you so much for your time. Good luck with Stellar Wind and all your horses. And let's keep visiting the winner's circle, okay?
That's great. It's been an honor and pleasure. We appreciate it, Bill. Thank you for everything you do.
Thank you so much. And thank you to our sponsor, TaylorMade, for this week's Thoroughbred Daily News Podcast.